Go to cufflinks.com now and use code DVR20 to save 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, the whole shebang, baby. DVR20, use it. You need a belt, you need cufflinks, you need ties, you need like a pocket square. Come on, look good. Elevate your style when you walk out the door in the morning. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. They have everything you need, and they got a great blog over there too that'll help you if you have an event coming up. So go over to cufflinks.com/DVR today.
The film list, you got a list, send it to us. DVRpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Heath Solo. Welcome back, folks, to the film list. And I'm running this series, counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time. And remember, not necessarily I think these are the best, but they're definitely my top 500 favorite. Last time, we did a bunch. Well, you know what? I'm going to count them all down. 500 was The Blob. 499 was 300. 498, Twilight Zone the movie. 497, Crimes and Misdemeanors. 496, Days of Thunder. 495, Predator. 494, King Kong, 1933. 493, The Maltese Falcon. 492, Buried. 491, Goldfinger. 490, this was Friday the 13th, Part 3. 489, Superman 3, 488, Good Will Hunting, 487, Taken, with Liam Neeson, and 486, Edge of Tomorrow, with Emily Blunt and Mr. Thomas Mathapour Cruz, born in Syracuse, New York. I'm excited. Back from vacation. Went to Rhode Island for the 4th of July, spent it with family, reconnected with cousins, and then we took our parents to where? Prague, where my wife's from, Lady Solo's from. So we had a nice trip. Got back, my episode of Snowfall aired, and started the Mindhunter podcast with Axel Foley. We're going from episode one on. So we're taking our time. Episode two drops, I believe, in a couple days, the 16th. Well, when you hear this, it's probably already dropped, but that is kind of what Heath Solo is doing podcasting-wise right now. But as you know, I'm obsessed with lists. I think I just made a list of my favorite toilet paper. But the top 500 films is something special to me. I've done a top 100 before, top 200. And I was just like, so many movies I want to not necessarily talk about because I play the trailers and I talk a little bit about it, just little snippets, because I don't want to go in-depth. I would take a whole podcast on each movie. But just to get it out there in the podcast universe. And maybe people are like, oh, I've never seen that movie. Or, huh, thought that movie was terrible. Let me check it out again. Or, Heath Solo, you're just totally wrong. But, I'm not saying they're the best, they're my favorite. All right, so let's get this party started at number 485 is a movie from 2001, came out July 13th, 2001. I saw it in the movie theater. I'm beginning to realize, going over this list, that 2001 was a really good year for movies. And maybe I'll do some more research, but I know a couple of my top 20 films are from 01. And 2001 was a good year. Okay, well, let's get started with the trailer.
Excuse me. Can you help me, please?
Boss Norman?
Yes.
Two blocks this way, one block that way, to the left, and you're right there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Nick.
I'm Max's guy in the customs house.
24 guards.
This is a very big payoff.
A lot of guards.
Very acceptable risks.
$30 million.
9 video cameras.
All right. I need a picture.
You got floor plans? I got security completely wrapped around my finger.
Sorry.
4 alarm systems.
I can handle the system in there if someone else can break into this box.
After this, no more jobs. This is the last one I'm doing.
No, it isn't.
I'm quitting.
How many times you told me that in 25 years?
All to protect a safe that has never been cracked.
You gotta admit that this kid did a pretty good show.
Thank you.
I run this operation down to the smallest detail. If I think for one second you're not living up to your end of it, or if you hold out on me in any way, I walk. Understood?
Walk away.
Work for me. I've done this down to the last detail. Don't Put me on the sideline. When it's time to collect, don't do it.
It's a dangerous game you're playing here.
Are we clear?
Yeah, we're clear.
I'll take some respect from you for starters. How about that?
Paramount Pictures and Mandalay Pictures present...
Who's this?
Cousin.
Cousin. That's my cousin. We've all got family here, which is nice.
In 25 years, I've never worked with a gun, and I'm not going to start now. Next time, don't bring a gun.
Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, Angela Bassett, and Marlon Brando.
Can you get me the bypass codes?
You want to talk or you want to see what I got?
Got it.
It will take all of them to get it.
Tick-tock.
But only one will keep it.
Do you think I'm stupid? Do you think I don't see what you and Max are doing?
When did you start thinking you were better than me?
You trying to talk me into taking a sucker's share on a score that I set up from the beginning.
This whole game is one big long shot, and if you don't have the discipline to stay away from the gambles, then one day you will go down. It's inevitable.
You want me to list the ways I can burn you? We either work this out right now, or I will take you down.
The score. Yeah, baby. Oh! Safe just blew up. The score. Yes. An aging thief hopes to retire and live off his ill-gotten wealth when a young kid convinces him into doing one last heist. Yes, The Score, directed by Frank Oz. I always get confused. I'm thinking he did voices. Written by Daniel E. Taylor, the story, and Cario Salmon, Robert De Niro, Ed Norton, Marlon Brando, Angela Bassett, as the trailer suggested, well, said. I think they shot this in Montreal, or at least it took place in Montreal. One point took place in Montreal. I can't remember. Anyway, The Score, a good heist film. It's during that De Niro run where he just is like, all right, I'm going to take you down. If you don't do what I do, this is one last thing. You do it my way. You know, he had a run like Two If by Sea, Heat. He did all these like Ronin, which, oh, I love Ronin. Ronin should make the top 500. But this one was good, and this is right at the elevation of Ed Norton's career, you know, after Primal Fear and Everyone Says I Love You and People versus Larry Flint, and he was kind of getting towards, I mean, man, what a great start to his career. But a young Ed Norton playing like that, you know, mentally challenged person, and then, of course, he's a normal psychopath or whatever. A little young Angela Bassett. I like it. Gary Farmer's in this. Gary Farmer is a... he was in this great movie. I forget what the heck the name was. He was in a movie... gosh. Heath Solo, Live in the Filmless. Well, he's in one of my favorites, Dead Man. Pow Wow Highway, that's what it is, and Smoke Signals. Native American actor. But love him in Dead Man. And he's in Ghost Dog, too. Another Jarmusch movie that I love. But anyway, great cast. I think this is one of Brando's, if not his final film before he passed, I want to say. I mean, it's cool having, you know, Brando and De Niro. And De Niro played young Vito Corleone in the Godfather series. Of course, Brando playing Vito Corleone. So it's kind of cool to see them together. Yeah, The Score was his last feature film. He was in the video game Godfather, but in Michael Jackson, You Rock My World, a video short. He plays the boss in 01. But this is his last film, The Score, Brando's finale. That's an interesting career, Brando. I'd love to hear a podcast on people exploring his career, the ins and outs. Hey, maybe that's something I'll do in the future. Not many awards, one win and one nomination. I can't wait. This is my favorite part, to find out what the heck. What the heck? I don't even know. Oh, the trailer of The Boys is coming up on IMDb. BET Award. Nominee, BET Award Best Actress, Angela Bassett. But it's for the Rosa Parks story. It's not even for The Score. Okay, great. Wait, so... And then she won an Image Award, Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. That's probably the one for The Score. She won an Image Award, people. But the BET Award, even though it's the Rosa Parks story, I thought I'd throw that out there. So, yeah, coming in at 485 is a fun heist movie. If you're in the mood for a little heist action, check out the score. All right, the next film coming in at 484, it's a movie that is close to my heart. And you're going to hear the trailer, and you're going to be like, all right, Heath Solo, what the heck is going on? But I'll explain after we hear the trailer. I swear, I will explain.
I'm really proud of you for going on this trip.
You're going to have so much fun. And remember, if something chases you, run.
Decade from genetics than a century of digging up bones. A whole new frontier has opened up. We have our first genetically modified hybrid.
You just went and made a new dinosaur?
Probably not a good idea.
Almost 40 feet high. Really think she climbed out?
Depends.
On what?
What kind of dinosaur they cooked up in that lab?
This summer.
Evacuate the island. She's a highly intelligent animal. She will kill anything that moves.
Oh, God.
Run! People are running. I haven't said, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. The film Jurassic World, it came out June 12th, 2015, the long-awaited fourth movie in the series. Not a reboot, continuation, but really, since 3 didn't do well, this was really a big movie of that summer. And, okay, and the reason why it's dearest in my heart. So, little story. Me and my girlfriend at the time, Lady Solo, we were going to P.F. Chang's and going to see Jurassic World. And we had just got back from my first trip to Prague, summer of 2015. And I had come back and my engagement ring, I was going to propose to her, of course. The engagement ring was ready. And I have it, and I planned this big thing. This was a Thursday, I believe. So this was later than the 12th. This was actually in July, I think. Yeah, proposed on July 9th. Okay, so it was a month later. We finally got to see the movie after we got back. And I was going to propose on Lady Solo's birthday, and I had this whole thing planned. I'm taking her to our first date, which was Paradise Cove in Malibu, a little restaurant by the beach. And everything was going to go according to plan. But I got this ring and I'm like, I'm going to lose this thing. I'm like, and then I'm talking to my sister. I'm like, what if she may know I'm going to propose on her, but what if I just propose? Like, I'm picking her up for dinner and a movie. What if I just do it and shock her? So I decided to do that. I won't tell you the details of what happened. It's pretty funny. But turns out that day, that Sunday, we're still going to Paradise Cove. It was a big accident. We were 2 hours late. We were stuck in traffic, missed our reservation. But we ended up going to this place called Joffrey's. Not the Joffrey podcast. Well, I think they may own some sort of stock into this restaurant in Malibu, and they wouldn't take us in, and then Lady Soul's like, I just got engaged. And they're like, okay, we'll fit you in, and we got a nice table and whatnot. But we went to P.F. Chang's and saw Jurassic World. Not your typical engagement celebration, but for us, we're very simple. Me and her just love to watch movies. We love to just spend time together. We're simple people. We love big things and love doing fancy things, but just being able to spend time together and do a simple dinner and a movie, we get excited for. It's part of our thing. It's just the little things make us happy. So this movie, especially, I just got engaged. I'm not gonna tell you how old I was, but a little later in life. but it just, it, ah, it, actually, yeah, I was 40. That's what I was trying to propose, because we had the kick-ass my 40th birthday party where Donald and Hispanic Chris came in, and Donald surprised me. It was just we had a party, a three-day event. It was just, and then, you know, the engagement that summer, it was just a really, and I got to go see Prague for the first time. So summer of 2015 was just, it was awesome. And so this movie, like Edge of Tomorrow and The Last Countdown, was our first movie we saw as a couple, or as dating. This was our engagement movie, Jurassic World, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, probably enjoyed it a lot more because of what was going on, having a few drinks at P.F. Chang's. But no, I just really enjoyed this movie. I'm a big Chris Pratt fan. He just brought it in this movie. Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Vincent D'Onofrio, B.D. Wong, baby. B.D. Wong is back. Judy Greer, who I met. She's been in everything, man. She's a good actress. Directed by Colin Trevorrow. Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver wrote the screenplay. Just a fun movie. It really, I'll be honest, I liked the Jurassic Park series. When the first one came out and the second one, I mean, I liked it. But I didn't love it like everyone else. I didn't see the first Jurassic Park in the theater. I saw Jurassic 2 Lost World with my friend Kevin Shaw, one of the producers on Down and Dangerous, a movie I was in, when we were in high school or college or high school, one of them, we saw it. And I wasn't like a huge Jurassic Park fan, and this movie kind of brought me back. I really love Fallen Kingdom as well. I don't think it probably won't make my top 500. It'd probably be in my top 600. But I thought that movie was really good too. So I really love like these Jurassic Park movies more than the originals. But the new ones have made me go back and want to enjoy the old ones. And I like the throwback in this film of the Jeeps from the first one. I always wanted a Jeep Wrangler. One of these days, I'm just going to get one as a second or third car, and just to drive around in. But I just, and of course, anyone splashes into the water, I'm in. Things coming out of the water, I'm in. So, yeah, man, Jurassic Park 484, a little Heath Solo, touches my heart. Now, let's see. This is, of course, my favorite part, is to find out awards. So, 15 wins and 57 nominations. Oof. Okay. So, yeah. Wow. Screen Actors Guild. Stunt Ensemble. Holy cow. There's like 35 people. Let's see. You know, was nominated and won some Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror. Let's see if the big ones. Golden Schmoes Awards. I love that. Most Overrated Movie of the Year at one. Oh, come on, Schmoes. Don't do that to us, the schmoes. Won a Hollywood Film Award. Editing, of course. A lot of film critics nominees. Satellite Awards Seattle, Teen Choice, blah, blah, blah. Really? No Oscars or Golden Globes? Huh, interesting. That's the ones we shoot for here on the film list, but I love... see if it got a schmo award. Or I love saying awards that are won, like especially the actors who... you know, one for a different movie. Angela Bassett, The Score, Rosa Parks Story. Okay, so that comes in at 484. And 483 is kind of almost like a related movie. I recently watched it to get ready for this pod, and boy, You guys are probably going to laugh your ass off. But it's one of those movies that as a kid, I enjoyed so much, and watch it as an adult, I'm like, oh my God. But I love it in that cheesy way. So here's the trailer. On a subway. It's catastrophic. The titanic, terrifying battle between the mightiest monsters of all time. King Kong versus Godzilla.
The great Godzilla, blazing a trail of terror to his Japanese homeland.
Captain, water in the conning tower.
Godzilla!
Roaring defiance to the only enemy on Earth strong enough to challenge him. The unconquerable King Kong, giant gorilla god of this South Seas paradise, where sensuous maidens offer themselves in ritual sacrifice to his brute embrace.
Godzilla has a brain about this size. He is sheer brute force. While Kong is a thinking animal, his brain is considerably larger, about 10 times the size of this gorilla's skull. Being instinctive rivals, there is no doubt that they will attempt to destroy one another.
King Kong versus Godzilla, heading for their colossal collision, shattering every obstacle that stands between them in the most fantastic rampage of annihilation ever recorded on film. See King Kong stamp Tokyo into the ground, holding a beautiful girl in his grasp.
But she doesn't look happy.
See Godzilla destroy an entire army. See King Kong trapped by the blazing barrier of 1 billion volts. But nothing, nobody can stop the great showdown when King Kong and Godzilla meet to fight for survival of the fittest.
So, Guy, it dwarfs every wonder the screen has ever shown before. Don't miss the battle of the centuries.
Cufflinks.com, baby. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20. Get 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, baby. It's all there for the taking. If you like NCAA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Marvel, DC, they've got everything. Hey, man, they got new stuff for the Aladdin movie. It's amazing stuff. Check it out. Cufflinks.com has everything along with those classic styles that just look good. They're not all genre stuff. They've got the classic stuff, too. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20 today.
Yes, well, I'm not gonna miss the battle of the century there. So the 1962 film King Kong versus Godzilla, and as you know, my foreign films and documentaries are in separate lists. This is just technically American films. Even though it's a Japanese film, there is an American version, so that's why it's able to make it. Comes in at 483, came out June 26, 1963 in the U.S., so it's 62 to 64 is kind of what they... directed by Ishiro Honda, written by... I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to butcher these names. Some great Japanese casts. Tadao Takashima, Kenji Sahara, Yu Fujiki, Ichiro Arishima, and Jun Tazaki. Hey, not bad. I think I did pretty good there. So the storyline, of course... A pharmaceutical company captures King Kong and brings him to Japan, where he escapes from captivity and battles a recently released Godzilla. When you watch it, it's the 60s, the old Godzilla movies. the tanks are, little models. I mean, you can tell. But it's just the way it's captured. I freaking love it. And the reaction of people... It's Kong versus Godzilla, and I know they're making a new movie. I don't know how good it's going to be. I wasn't, the biggest Godzilla fan. I love the original King Kong as the 33 movie comes in at, came in at 494. This one comes in at 483. And, but as a kid, I loved it. I loved King Kong versus Godzilla. I watched it probably when I was like 6, 7 years old on, I think, Channel 56 in Rhode Island, like one of those UHF channels. Man, just, and I recently watched it. The transfer is really good on the Blu-ray. Unfortunately, it does show. I mean, you can tell it's models and fake, but I don't know. It's great. But there's a big difference between the Japanese version and the American version. So one of the big differences, the U.S. version is re-edited from the Japanese original and is, of course, very different. I'm getting this from IMDb. New scenes featuring Eric Carter as the United Nations reporter were inserted for the U.S. version, replacing some footage from the Japanese release. Most of the comedy bits featuring the two of the characters in the movie are deleted in favor of bland action screeching to a halt UN news reports, which are completely disassociated from the story. In the U.S. version, Harry Holcomb recites a ludicrous idea that Godzilla is cross of a Tyrannosaurus while pointing to an Allosaurus in a children's book and a Stegosaurus. Most of Ifukube's score is deleted and replaced with themes from the score of Creature from the Black Lagoon. Yeah, I did notice that, and I can't remember it as a kid if they had the UN stuff. So basically, instead of, they took out some funny Japanese bits, like people betting on who's going to win, Godzilla or King Kong, the place and bets. So, though the American version, that's the film list. I like the Japanese version a little bit better. The UN stuff is kind of but it does help the plot. It does help you explain things, but it kind of takes you out a little bit. But hey, what are you gonna do? I would love to see. I love the seats when I saw the Japanese version, them placing bets. It's just part of that Japanese filmmaking where they put, you know, really different things. Now, some of the endings different. I mean, they're kind of basically the same. But I guess in both versions, the fight ends with only King Kong emerging from the ocean and swimming home. Okay, that's the one I remember. The only minor difference that in the Japanese version is both monsters emit roars on the soundtrack after the film ends, while in the U.S. version, only King Kong's roar can be heard on the soundtrack. So pretty much it's like King Godzilla isn't defeated necessarily in the Japanese version, but King Kong wins in the American version. But yeah, man, love this film. It's a treat. It's filmmaking at its best. I mean, 1962 models, and it's just, you know, the actors are so committed, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. That's why it's my 483rd favorite movie of all time. All right, so the next film, you'll send the film list live, coming in at 482 is totally opposite of what we just talked about, actually probably in the three. It's actually a musical. It's an old school movie from 1952. I first saw it in film school taking a musical class taught by the man Paul Zinder at Syracuse, who became a good friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in probably 20 years. Lost track. I gotta catch up with you. Paul Zinder, if you're listening, I know you went to Italy or you're in Europe for a while, but if you're around, hey, hit me up on the Book of Face, or Facebook, as the kids call it. So here's the trailer, a classic, one of my favorites, and here's the amazing trailer. And it's long.
In the spirit of fun, of an American in Paris, MGM now brings you the big, big musical show of the year!
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain, what a glorious
starring Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, and Debbie Rose.
With a happy refrain, and singing, just singing in the rain.
Mr. Simpson, we're really rolling.
Yeah, well, you can stop rolling at once.
Huh?
Don, Lena.
All right, everybody, save it.
save it. Tell them to go home. We're shutting down for a few weeks.
What?
Well, don't just stand there. Tell them.
Everybody go home until further notice. What is this?
Yeah, what's the matter, R.F.?
The jazz singer. That's what's the matter. The jazz singer.
Oh, my darling little mammy. Now, little mammy. My little baby.
No, this is no joke, Cosmo. It's a sensation. The public is screaming for more.
More what?
Talking pictures. Talking pictures.
Ah, it's just a freak.
Yeah, what a freak. We should have such a freak at this studio. I told you talking pictures were a menace, but no one would listen to me. Don, we're going to put our best feet forward. We're going to make the Dueling Cavalier into a talking picture. Oh!
Beautiful girl, you're a lovely picture.
You were meant for me.
All I do is dream of you the whole night through.
You're my lucky star.
But your DJ Timmy Hines is loving this show.
Fiddle ready for love. I can jump over the moon up above. There's a fiddle and ready for love. I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain.
Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Gene Hagen's also in this. Millard Mitchell. And Sid Sheeran. The amazing Broadway ballet.
Broadway rhythm, it's got me everybody dance. Broadway rhythm, it's got me everybody dance.
Songs you like. Singing in the Rain, a classic. Oh, man. So, Singing in the Rain came out April 11th, 1952. A silent film production company and cast make a difficult transition to sound. It's a great story, directed by Stanley Donen and Gene Kelly, written by Betty Comden and Aldolf Green. Stars, of course, Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, the late, great Debbie Reynolds, like I said, Sid Charisse, Rita Moreno, who's West Side Story and Law and Order Criminal Intent. This film, it's amazing, especially for 1952. I mean, not that we should, there's been a lot of bad movies early in last century, but some damn good ones too. And this one's just remarkable. And the concept of them going to silent pictures, to talkies, takes place in the 20s. And there's one scene where there's this beautiful actress, but her high-pitched voice just doesn't work. Gene Kelly is one of my favorites. He just, good-looking dude. He can dance. He's funny. He's just, man, love Gene Kelly. Of course, Debbie Reynolds is speaks for herself. And Donald O'Connor's that gorky friend. He's just hilarious. Like, when you're in that trailer, when he's like, the jazz singer, that's the, you know, and then he starts playing the jazz singer. And it's like, no time for fun, Cosmo, or whatever. He's hilarious. Donald O'Connor really steals the show. But of course, you know me and my rain, and just the dude singing in the rain, it's just like, I'm like, I like to do that. I don't do a whole dramatic production like that, but maybe I mumble in the rain. He solo mumbles in the rain, the picture you'll love to see. Anyway, if you've never seen it, it's worth It's worth a Saturday afternoon viewing. I don't know why it's Saturday afternoon, but yeah, you know, Saturday afternoon if you're not into college football. But so Gene Hagen was nominated for an Oscar for Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Best Music Scoring of a Musical Picture, Lenny Hayton, but it did not win any Academy Awards. Golden Globes, it did win Best Actor, Comedy or Musical. Donald O'Connor won, and it was nominated for Best Motion Picture, Comedy or Musical. Really didn't, it won, you know, some Critics Awards, Writers Guild Award. That's it. I'm surprised. For some reason, I thought this was Best Picture, but I guess I am off the, you know, my Oscar, but Oscar radar is a little off. But, man, when I saw this, I was like, oh, man, we're going to watch Singing in the Rain. Okay. And I am taking a class about musicals. Can't remember if it's required or not, but it's probably better than the other class. But actually, I love the class. And I just really enjoyed this film. It didn't speak to me because I'm not a singer and a dancer, just a shower singer. But I loved the concept and I really enjoyed it. And again, the 90s was my time. I was in high school and college and, you know, the whole renaissance of film with Pulp Fiction changing. And I just was really studying old films and foreign films. And it was just, God, it was a happy time in my life. Just really, I missed those 90s. You know, I love time now, but it's just, you know, when you're young, the best years of your life, it's just really great time for me. And this movie brings back some memories. It's funny, it's a movie that came out in 1952, but it's bringing back memories of, you know, 1996 for me. So yeah, man, Singing in the Rain comes in at 482. All right, so now we're coming full circle, number 481. It's a 2018 film. It deals with espionage, spying, and all that jazz. So here's the trailer for the next film in the countdown.
Morning, Mama.
What is it?
I have to go away for a while. I was told to take a man to a hotel. He said he was an enemy of the state.
Take off your dress.
And in exchange, my mother would get the doctor she needed. Instead, they cut his throat. There could be no witnesses. So they gave me a choice. Die or become a sparrow.
From this day forward, you will become sparrows. Weapons in a global struggle for power. You'll be trained in psychological manipulation. You must learn to push yourself beyond all limitation. Take off your clothes. When we are finished with you, the person you were will no longer exist. Every human being is a puzzle of need. You must become the missing piece, and they will tell you anything.
You have a gift. You know how to survive. This is what you were meant to do. There is a traitor in the government. His last known contact is an American. Get close to him.
I thought I saw you in the pool yesterday.
Are we going to become friends?
Is that what you want? She's a sparrow.
You only matter because of what you can do for them. Work with me and make these men pay.
You are better at this than any of us. Your only problem is you have a soul.
We can't trust a word that comes out of her mouth.
There's something else we're not seeing. If she's compromised, she will be eliminated. You belong to them. They'll never let you go.
I'll find a way.
Ah! Red Sparrow. 2018. Saw this movie in the theater. Came out... When the heck did it come out? March 2nd, 2018. Ballerina Dominica Egorova is recruited to Sparrow School, a Russian intelligence service, where she is forced to use her body as a weapon. Her first mission, targeting a CIA agent, threatens to unravel the security of both nations. Directed by Francis Lawrence, stars Jennifer Lawrence, Joel Egerton, Matthias Schoenaerts, who was really good in this movie, Jeremy Irons, Charlotte Rampling, Mary Louise Parker, Sirian Hines, Sasha Frolova as Anya, Sakina Jaffrey as Trish Forsyth, Sebastian Hulk as Methorin. This movie kicks ass. I don't think it got the praise it deserved. It's shot supremely well. I mean, it's just a visually stimulating movie in the cold. A lot of blues and, colors. And I just, and Jennifer Lawrence, I think, at first it's a little like, okay, well, she's speaking Russian, but she does a good job. But Joel Egerton's fantastic. It's funny. You got an American playing a Russian and an Australian playing an American. Typical of Hollywood these days. But, yeah. It's remarkable what her character goes through and how she uses, and there's just one of those amazing twists at the end that is phenomenal. If you haven't seen this movie, I feel for you, because this one's a really good one, especially if you like the spy espionage thing. It's really a great character study on the Dominica character. It's phenomenal. It just has these elements where you think it's. I'm gonna compare it to almost like a Sherlock Holmes tale. There's details, and you don't know really what's happening, but you kind of do, but you don't. And it's just the ending is fantastic. Great movie. Highly recommend it. I don't think there was any big awards. 3 wins and 8 nominations. Let's see. Do we have any schmoes? Oh, the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Jennifer Lawrence won. Actress most in need of a new agent. Oh, I didn't know. These are better than the schmoes. Okay, so the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Oh, boy. So Jennifer Lawrence won Best Actress Most in Need of a New Agent. Yeah, come on. And it was nominated for Most Egregious Age Difference Between the Leading Man and the Love Interest, Jennifer Lawrence and Joel Egerton. Wasn't that? Joel Egerton's not that old. Well, he's probably like he's like 40. Jennifer Lawrence is like 30 something. I don't know. Oh, my God. So we have a new one. Not only do we have the Schmoes Awards, we have the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Yeah, that's good. Oh, it did win. It won. Golden Schmoes Award winner, Best TNA of the Year, Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, boy. Sorry for my female listeners out there. Hey, it was a nominee for a People's Choice Award. But, oh, my God. It just got ripped, I guess. It didn't. I love this movie. It's actually on HBO right now. That's a shame. I'm a little weird. Well, we're all weird. But I'm not a big... I used to think, what the critics think or what people think. And, I do like to see what people thought. But, like, a prime example is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood recently came out. And there's a split. With every Tarantino, there's always a split. But I honestly want to – hopefully Axel will go and see it or see it when it comes out. But maybe after the hype review, we'll go through it. It's definitely top three of my favorite Tarantino movies. And, a lot of people loved it. A lot of people hated it. I mean, it just, what he did, you really need to sit with it and think about it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And freaking Pitt and DiCaprio. But anyway, let's just say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be very high in the top 500. I kid you not. I love that movie so much. It's been like 3 weeks. So I'm still thinking about it. Even when Red Sparrow comes up. But, wow. I mean, it was released in March, and I don't know why people didn't like this. I loved it, and it snuck into my top 500. So, recapping the movies I went over today, my top 500. Number 485 was The Score. Number 484 was Jurassic World. 483, King Kong vs. Godzilla. 482, Singing in the Rain. And 481, Red Sparrow. And you know what? A special, usually I do five favorite films. I'm doing a sixth as a bonus for you. A summer bonus. An August bonus. So here's the trailer of a classic that I love. All right, coming up next at number 480 is a film that came out July 27th, 1966. It is a film that will tear you apart with suspense. I first saw this VHS rental in the 80s. That's where I first saw this movie. Well, here's the trailer, and we'll talk shop.
What series of startling events could come to a climax in a scene like this?
Paul Newman. In Alfred Hitchcock's Torn Curtain.
I'm not a scientist, I'm a teacher.
You're a scientist, and you're supposed to respect a natural order in all things. Breakfast comes before lunch.
Ow!
And marriage should come before a honeymoon cruise.
Paul Newman and Julie Andrews find love in danger. And danger in love. When they venture behind Alfred Hitchcock's Torn Curtain.
Now you stay away from me. Don't talk to me. When this plane lands, you take the next one out. Anywhere. Go home.
But she had to know what was happening to the man she loved.
All right, what would you like me to do?
So I'll be back in time for the wedding.
In 2 months?
Yeah.
Or three?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael, you certainly know how to make a girl feel wanted.
Who are you?
Didn't the farmer tell you? I'm Dr. Koska.
Who is this Professor Armstrong?
Pray for him.
What possessed you to bring your girl on a job like this?
I didn't. She followed me.
It'll blow up.
We built it. Didn't blow up. It works.
4 years ago, we tried to get it on Mars. It blew up.
I love you very much. Won't you please take me home?
I'm sorry. I can't.
Shock. Intrigue. Ecstasy. Danger. Will Robinson. And deceit. Terror. Oh, there's everything. Guys firing guns.
No. They found Gormick's body.
Suspense. Torn Curtain, Alfred Hitchcock classic, and it's not like your typical Hitchcock with the murder and whodunit, or it's more of like a political thriller, but it just, and you know, you wonder if they, you know, Torn Curtain people went to see like, oh my God, this is going to be like Psycho. Nothing like Psycho. Paul Newman and Julie Andrews on the screen together, two of my favorite actors, just absolutely amazing. And it's just, you know, Paul Newman is just, I mean, he's a true movie star, one of the handful throughout history. But an American scientist publicly defects to East Germany as a part of a cloak and dagger mission to find the solution for a formula resin before planning escape back to the West. Directed by Alfred Hitchcock, written by Brian Moore, stars Paul Newman and Julie Andrews, as I said, Lila Kudrow, Wolfgang Keeling as Herman Gromick. A lot of foreign actors in this film. Carolyn Conwell as Farmer's Wife. Bet you didn't know that. Oh, I love this one. Arthur Gold Porter as Freddy the Bookseller. I want to be Freddy the Bookseller in a movie. Maybe if they remake the movie, I could be Freddy the Bookseller. As far as nominations and awards, not a big Oscar block here on Heath Solo's Top 500. Some Blu-ray DVD. Was nominated for a sound, all DVD awards. The Cahiers du Cinéma, 1966 nominee Top 10 Film Award. And it got 8th place. That is about it for the awards. But yeah, Torn Curtain. Hitchcock's one of my top five favorite directors. There's a ton of movies that you'll hear throughout this countdown. But Torn Curtain comes in. It's just, again, like Tarantino movies for me, Hitchcock movies, there's very few that aren't good. I might not have seen them. This one, I just love it. Watched it a couple years ago on Blu-ray for like the third time, I think. Third or fourth time. I've seen it a few times throughout my life. But I love, as an actor, the Paul Newman, Julie Andrews dynamic. It's just, seeing Fast Eddie Felsen and Mary Poppins on screen together. Really well acted, directed. There's a scene in like a theater where there's mobs of people going everywhere, and Paul Newman is trying to get to Julie Andrews, and Julie Andrews is just like sucked into the crowd. She's going backwards as she's reaching to try to get to Paul. I mean, she's distance away, and she like just disappears. Just really well done. I mean, Hitchcock is a man before his time. But this movie, man, it just really, it's a good one. It really is. And, Tuesday evening, if you want to pop in a Hitchcock movie, check out Torn Curtain. So, all right, folks, well, that will conclude this film list. I counted down 485 to 480, which is cool because now doing the extra film, when I do the five, next time will be 479 to 475, 474 to 470. I like ending on like a, the five or the zero. But who knows? Maybe, I'll throw in some extras in there, depending on how it goes. But one thing we know, that the Schmoes Awards are flying high in this top five, and we got this Women's Journalist Award, Jennifer Lawrence, nominated for Who Needs a New Agent. It's funny. I actually like it when people hate, critics hate my movies, because it's just fun to talk about. Anyway, thanks for joining in. Don't forget, become a patron on Patreon, dvrpodcast.com/Patreon, I believe. But yeah, man, just enjoy doing this, and I'll be back in a few weeks with another doozy where we're going to count down 479 to 475. You will definitely have a couple of recent movies, an old classic, an 80s classic, and maybe one that has to do with the ocean. All right, I'm Heath Solo. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on the Film List.